Coming up today on Undivided, we're doing a deep dive into how the media uses trans identities when it's sympathetic, but ignores them when those identities become problematic. Plus, the numbers are in. Washington State spent millions of dollars on top and bottom surgeries for trans prison inmates. And Seattle's mayor now seemingly walking away from her harsh comments about the wealthy and businesses. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for $5 a month as a paid subscriber. And through May, we have a great promo running. We only do it once a year. It's 30% off the entire year. That brings the cost of supporting the show down to just $3.50 a month. Go to patreon.com/undivided. patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Let the record show, Nicole just flipped me off. You guys, I'm being abused. I'm being abused by my producer. Kidding. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I got a lot of comments yesterday after I admitted to flipping off that guy who was holding the sign saying we belong at the Nuremberg trials or whatever. Mostly supportive.
I actually got a couple comments about you doing that as well.
Mostly supportive. And then some people saying, yeah, you do need to find Jesus. Pretty bad. But it's all right. It's fine. All right. Today on the show, we're going to lead with reason number 9,564, why you can't trust the media. And you specifically can't trust them around the issue of radical gender ideology, because they'll push it when it's convenient and they'll ignore it when it's inconvenient. And I don't think this is more true in any other type of coverage than crime coverage. So if the victim is transgender, then they've got to talk about and mention transgender. But if the suspect is transgender, even if the crime was committed specifically because of their gender ideology or identity, the media will 99% of the time ignore it. Why? Well, you know the answer to that. But there was a really horrible example of this, but it does illustrate the point pretty profoundly, when the UW student was murdered last week and happened to be transgender. Of course, all of the headlines, almost without exception in the legacy news, mentioned the fact that this 19-year-old, a biological man who now identified as a female, was transgender. ABC News, man arrested in murder of transgender University of Washington student. From the UW Daily, President Jones addresses homicide of transgender student. Como News, photos of UW trans student murder suspect. The Stranger, community grief and healing event planned after stabbing of Juniper Blessing, a 19-year-old trans UW student. Seattle Times, Turning Point USA postpones UW event after killing of transgender woman. And the murder is a tragedy. It's horrific. This individual was stabbed more than 40 times while doing their laundry at an off-campus housing complex. But as I said at the time, there was no indication early on that it was because of their transgender identity. But if you read the headlines, it really sounded like this was a hate crime, that the trans moniker was included in the headlines to make people believe, or to just have the automatic assumption, must have been killed because they were transgender. And of course, that was weaponized by the far left to stop last week a planned event on the campus of the University of Washington from noted detransitioner Chloe Cole. So Chloe Cole, female, at one point in her life was convinced to try to transition to be a boy, woke up, realized that was crazy, had a planned event last week at the University of Washington a couple days after the homicide. But because the media and everyone was saying, oh my gosh, this is an instance of a hate crime, trans person was killed, you can't have this quote unquote transphobe on campus. So they gave her the old heckler's veto, and Turning Point got so many threats against Chloe Cole's safety that they decided to postpone the event until another time. And then it turns out, and what did I say when this happened? I was open to the possibility that it was a hate crime, but nothing had indicated that that was the case. And it turns out it's not the case. In fact, the King County Prosecutor's Office put out a statement saying there's not evidence to show the crime was motivated by hate, although I would argue if you stab someone 40 times, you are driven by hate, but not a hate crime in the legal sense. That's the determination by both investigators and multiple senior deputy prosecutors after an independent review. And they charge the suspect, Christopher Leahy, with one count of murder in the first degree. They don't have any sort of added accusation that this was a hate crime against a transgender person. And in fact, if you read deeper into the court documents, and if you read the police report, it even says that he had stalked other people that very night. So if it wasn't Juniper Blessing, it might have very well been someone else. It said that same evening, the defendant stalked another UW student across a multi-building apartment complex, eventually following the second student into the same building and the same room where he would viciously murder Juniper Blessing. Although not a student at the university and not a resident of Seattle, tracking apps and video recordings have placed the defendant in campus buildings and attempting to enter private homes in Ravenna prior to the murder. So this guy's Looney Tunes. And it goes through detail. There was another female student who he had stalked in that same apartment complex where he eventually entered the laundry room and murdered Juniper Blessing. And so, you know, you would expect, I guess, and this is, it's kind of what I expected the entire time. At first, I thought this is probably someone who the suspect knows based on the brutality of the crime, right? And I said, or this is a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs person who was just looking for a victim. And it sounds like that was indeed the case. So now you have the media that's concocted. And once you put the take the toothpaste out of the tube, can't put it back in, concocted this narrative through their headlines and through their reporting and through their focus on the victim's trans identity, that this was some sort of hate crime. And they're not all out there in the headlines saying murder was not motivated by hate, murder was not motivated by trans identity. No, of course, that now gets buried. That now gets buried. And now the public believes at large, if they consume legacy media or one of these left-wing publications like The Stranger, that this 19-year-old was murdered because of their gender identity, which it just is not the case. And I want to compare that to something. So there was a murder case out of Utah that's making the rounds again this week on conservative social media mostly. And that's because this video has come out of the confessed killer's confession. And the murder suspect is a man who identifies as a woman, clearly, you know, transgender. And in this video going around says, and it's just ice cold, that they murdered their parents because specifically his mom was trying to interfere with a planned gender reassignment surgery.
She was more like, how could I put it? Not very supportive. She was in shock, just didn't say anything. And then she's never supported since. And she kept calling me by my dead name and a bunch of other stuff, so.
So he says she was calling me by my dead name, wouldn't support my gender reassignment. So he murdered both of his parents in cold blood. And this is a prime example. Not only is the suspect transgender, but the suspect's crime was committed, admittedly, because of that trans ideology. How does the mainstream news cover it? She, her, woman. They don't mention. I read as many articles as I could. In mainstream news articles, I didn't see one mention that the suspect was trans. And most of these articles were written when the crime actually happened. And when that video came out with the actual confession saying, I did this because of the gender reassignment thing, you think these news outlets followed back up and said, did a headline say, no, suspect who killed two of his parents did it because they wouldn't let him get reassignment surgery? No, they just drop it. And all these, I mean, woman who killed parents sends handwritten note to judge. Woman who killed parents. Can you pull these back up, Nicole? Double homicide suspect admits to killing parents in Utah home. Unremorseful woman brutally killed Southern Utah parents. And they refer to this individual by their trans name in all of the headlines. So when you think of those two things together, you see a media that deliberately weaponizes the trans identity to fulfill a political agenda. If trans can be used to create sympathy, they'll do it. But if the trans label becomes problematic, they'll ignore it. They'll bury it. And they'll even lie by saying it's a woman, unremorseful woman, who killed parents. And now they'll assign a horrific crime, and this has happened so many times, a horrific, violent offense to the female gender, when it's really a man that did it. So is that a media ecosystem that you can trust? Because every time, and I've said this, every time they do that, it's a conscious lie, right? It's a conscious lie to say, remorseful woman, or unremorseful woman, woman who killed parents. They're making the decision to put gender ideology and the identity that this killer chooses ahead of truth for the public and for their readers and for their viewers. And they also choose in the process, in this case, to bury the reality of why this man killed his parents. Because he wanted gender reassignment surgery and his mom would not pay for it. And then in a case that has nothing to do, in the UW case, nothing to do with trans, with the victim's trans identity. That's all it is. Again, the headlines, every single one of them. Transgender student, transgender student, transgender student, transgender student. And that's an instance where the identity had nothing to do with the crime. But that person's the victim. If they're the suspect, no, don't mention they're trans. That'll make trans people look bad. And then they want to manufacture hate. Oh, yeah, people hate the trans community. They're out there killing them at the University of Washington. That's why the media can't be trusted. They're unfixable. The legacy media is absolutely unfixable. And that's just a prime example. One of many, many examples, by the way. You look at most crimes, if it's a transgender person who commits the crime, there's been shootings, school shootings, where they bury or they use the gender identity and they don't say it's actually a man. Horrific crimes against children, and they say it's a woman when it's actually a man. And they don't mention trans at all because they know there's a pattern creeping up here. They know there's a pattern and they don't want to seem like bigots, so they just bury it. Also on the transgender front, I got a text from my friend Ari Hoffman with KVI today, and he said something like, I got a morning gift for you. He's like, check your email. So he did a public records request for something I talk about all the time on the show, which is the fact that our tax dollars go toward giving luxury medical services to transgender inmates in our state prison system. And the one that bothers me the most is the laser hair removal. Because laser hair removal is like $5,000. And if you're a man serving time in a prison and you want to feel more feminine, they'll give you laser hair removal on your legs, laser hair removal on your armpits, laser hair removal on your face, laser hair removal on your crotch, laser hair removal on your butt, paid for with your money. And they'll also do top and bottom surgeries. You're a man, you want to go to the women's prison, you want a boob job? Great, they'll pay for a boob job. We didn't know how much it was because the state of Washington for years now has hidden really medical information as it pertains to trans inmates because they say that it's protected. But now they're releasing it. So Ari got his hands on the actual figures. Since 2019, the Department of Corrections has spent $4.5 million of your money on boutique medical care for transgender prison inmates. And $400,000 of that was paid by Medicaid. And I think the federal government should take a look at that. So $3.2 million on procedures and treatments, including $500,000 for bottom surgeries, $600,000 for top surgeries, $85,000 for laser hair removal. That's at least, if you're talking $5,000, is that a fair number? I think about $5,000 over the course of a laser. Is it less than that?
I would say less than that per person.
Okay, maybe two, three. You're talking about more than 20 people,
right,
who that would have paid for their laser hair removal, or the government's paying a ton, which is probably more likely. I bet you it's like three, and the government paid, you know, $20,000 per person and to send them to an office. Because remember, we did on this show, they had a government contract that they put out looking for someone who performs laser hair removal to either come into the prisons or to serve inmates in their private practice. It was like a job posting. And then they have job postings and they've hired doctors specifically only to care for trans prison inmates. And they're paying them like almost $500,000 a year. And then in these figures, so that's since 2019, but actually, can you pull that back up? Because I just want to point out one thing. Look how much that's increased over time. And it's because now...
word got around.
Right, word got around. Word got around. And as they talk more about radical gender ideology, and yes, this is totally acceptable, word got around. And then as Ori's information points out, and as actually the person who said, so in 2024, 2025, the agency had a specific proviso funding associated with gender-affirming care. So before it was just coming out of sort of a general medical fund for inmates. And then in 2024 and 2025, they actually set aside specifically line items in the Department of Corrections budget for gender-affirming care. So here's where that's at. $2.3 million for those 2 years just for gender-affirming care. And mind you, we're in the middle of a budget crisis, self-imposed. And a lot of that is actually just on salaries and wages. Because I mentioned they got doctors, they got these professionals, quote unquote, that they need to pay to service these trans inmates with everything they need. So a lot of it is just paying people to give, again, boutique care to the trans. They're getting better medical care than you are. I mean, you don't think I would like a free boob job? One day, I guess I'll have to commit a crime, go to the state prison system and say that in order to feel more feminine in my own body, I need a boob job and laser hair removal. And we'll see. And I mean, honestly, every inmate in there, every female inmate, if this gets to you, female inmates at the Women's Correctional Center, say that you're say you're gender nonconforming. And some days you're trans mask or whatever it is, but in order to feel more secure with your gender identity, you need a boob job. I'm telling you, girls, get that paid for before you leave. Get it paid for before you leave, because once all the female inmates start to get boob jobs and they're not even trans, but they make up something gender nonconforming, they'll put an end to this. They'll put an end to it. You have to abuse the system. You have to have enough people abuse the system before this nonsense will go away. And that's kind of what I've said about boys and girls sports, is we need some very good male athletes to take one for the team and say, oh, I'm going to compete against the girls. We need an NBA player or two to just go out there and crush women on the court. Same in high school sports. You take, you know, from some of these Seattle schools where you've got future NBA players, a couple of them need to man up and say, I'm going to go play against the girls. That's my choice. And that it will be done lickety split. So that's what we have to do here. But $4.5 million of your money, your hard-earned money, they take it. Boob jobs, laser hair removal, bottom surgery for trans prison inmates. Who supports that? Somebody come on this show and tell me that you support that. Open. I'll give you an hour, unimpeded, unedited, for any Democratic state lawmaker that wants to come on this show and tell me why they support it. Sean Scott did. We had on, I wish I'd pulled that clip, Socialist Sean Scott came on this show and I asked him, do you support using taxpayer money for this? And he said, yes, because it's necessary health care. Calls it necessary health care. And says, oh, you're just focused on this one little thing where there's all this other spending. It's like, no. Answer my question. Do you support it? And he said, yes, unequivocally. So I gave him credit at the time for at least saying what he believed. Sitting down in front of a camera and saying, yes, we want to spend your hard-earned money giving boob jobs to prison inmates. But I would challenge any other Democrat that wants to sit down and do the same thing, because he was pretty widely eviscerated for that on social media, I might add. All right, Seattle Socialist Mayor Katie Wilson suggesting maybe, possibly, she regrets some of the comments that she's made that have embarrassed her and the city over fleeing wealth and businesses. We'll discuss first. Coming up on Thursday, our friend Zach Abraham with Buller Capital is having one of his free live webinars. This is going to be the Impact of Energy live webinar. He's going to talk about how every market is being driven by energy. He'll discuss the impact energy has on inflation and how that could potentially affect your retirement planning. Plus, of course, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Again, that's this Thursday. Totally free to sign up. You can go do it right now. Actually, do it after the show. But knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right. So I was saying to Nicole, so first there's the, let's just play the clip that you guys will all remember, Katie waving bye to businesses.
I think the claims that millionaires are going to leave our state are like super overblown. And if, you know, the ones that leave, like, bye.
Yeah, so embarrassing. What, that clip and the fallout from it has been extraordinary. I mean, that was weeks ago that we broke that clip, that soundbite. And now, I mean, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, now the New York Times. I don't think people understand that that clip was this close to not even existing. Nicole got some tip like a couple months ago, right after the event happened, that, hey, Katie Wilson said this during the thing, but there was no video of it. So Nicole, diligent producer, every day she'd check and see if the university where that event was held posted the video, and then one day they posted it. It was like, good job, Nicole, going back and checking the due diligence, because, oh my gosh, that clip is the gift that keeps on giving. So the New York Times did a story about this. The headline, a young socialist mayor, Starbucks, and the tension over soaking the rich. Seattle voters elected Mayor Katie Wilson as tensions rose over wealth inequality. But as Starbucks, one of the city's most iconic companies, expands in Nashville, she is finding her limits. So in the article, they talked to a couple people in Seattle, including Seattle City Council member Rob Sokka, who's one of the more sane council members. And he said he's gravely concerned about what's happening and with Starbucks leaving. He said his district in West Seattle includes a lot of the Starbucks executives. And, you know, we know that if jobs leave here, that's going to include executive jobs. He said this is real. Seemingly in response, of course, to a lot of Democrats saying, oh, no, that's not happening. Wealth flight. No, they're not going to leave because of our income tax on billionaires. The New York Times writes, the mayor said she understands now that everything she says will be parsed for potential anti-business soundbites, and that she should have, quote, a multidimensional relationship with companies like Starbucks. Ms. Wilson replaced her chief of staff last week. She said, quote, those comments were not productive in the sense that they caused more harm than good. Now, I don't think that's certainly not an apology. She's just recognizing the backlash and saying it caused more harm than good. It's also interesting. There's been news that she replaced her chief of staff. This seems to suggest that it was over that issue or over the business issue. And maybe she's trying to put someone in that's a little more business friendly. She goes on to say, Ms. Wilson said her office has a good relationship with Starbucks. No, you don't. Noting that the Nashville expansion news did not come as a surprise and that the company continues philanthropic work in the city. Earlier this month, she announced creation of a new 90-unit tiny house shelter. One of the sponsors is Starbucks. She said, I want them here. And I believe they want to be here. Interesting. I want them here. And then it says, she would not, however, say where she buys her lattes. Well, we already know that she doesn't buy her lattes at Starbucks because this is what she said just days after being elected mayor.
I'm proud to say, loud and clear, I am not buying Starbucks and you should not either.
Yeah, so she says she's not buying Starbucks. And then she's in the New York Times saying, I want them here. We have a great relationship. Bye. No, don't leave. We have a great relationship. It's like, no, you don't have a great relationship. And a lot of the damage is already done. There was yet another Starbucks layoff notice that happened yesterday at headquarters. Again, it includes 9 vice presidents and about 100 managers of all different sorts, including paralegals. And what's interesting is the state tracks this stuff, but there's something called the Washington WARN Act, Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. So basically says that these companies that are going to lay people off have to notify the state in advance. And so some of these people haven't even been notified that they're going to be laid off, but their positions have been listed essentially in this notice of a layoff, 252 workers. And the type of layoff? Permanent. They're not being rerouted to Nashville. they're permanently being laid off. And that's just the latest in a number of announcements Starbucks has made. At the beginning, remember everybody was like, oh, they're just opening a second HQ. Oh, it's just, they need a second one just on the other side of the country. No big deal. And all of a sudden became very clear that the capacity of that second one was pretty high. Made it seem like no way you're going to hire, you know, that many new workers. No, and all these people are given opportunities to just move to Nashville. Meanwhile, you still have these dishonest Democratic lawmakers in Washington state who continue to deny reality. I mean, how many of them have said Capital Flight isn't a thing? This isn't going to have, you know, a bad economic impact. Here's Karlene Johnson of the Center Square once again questioning State Senator Jamie Peterson about all of these headlines that continue to come out.
As this thing is moving forward, you've got a lot of people, wealthy people, business people saying they're leaving. You saw the comments from former Governor Greg Ware a couple of weeks ago at the AWB summit. People saying they're getting the heck out of Dodge. Are you concerned this isn't going to bring in the revenue that you hoped?
Time will tell.
Oh, now he's changing his tune. Time will tell. We don't need to wait for time to tell. Time is right now, and I can tell. Because they're not lying. They're not submitting fake layoff notices to the state. The rich people who are already leaving, they're not lying. They're just leaving. It's like you think that it's all a charade where it's like, oh, we found all these people who are going to lie about closing their businesses. There's the guy from Heritage Distilling. Remember he was on and they closed their kind of tasting rooms, their brick and mortar shops? Well, he moved, I think I heard, to Vegas. He's gone. So these people are leaving. They're leaving now. So you don't need, Jamie Peterson, we don't need to wait until 2029 when you start to collect revenue and then count our losses, because those losses are done and they'll never be recovered. And that's how the budget crisis gets worse and worse and worse and worse. You target out a mobile population for taxation. Don't be surprised when they leave. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals and Acts, if you believe that Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson is having something of a change of heart. Do you think she's learned a lesson about, okay, what I say matters and I shouldn't have said what I said? Nicole?
No, I don't think she's had a change of heart, but I do think that she has had facts presented to her that she can't deny.
No.
So, I mean, I think that this is happening. Starbucks is leaving and she sees that can't, now she doesn't have their money to pay for all these free things that she wanted to give people. And now she's like, oh, wait, I don't want them to leave quite so fast. Yeah. And, well, you know, so
I don't think she's realized that yet. I think that she just knows she looked bad and foolish. She knows that she's the laughing stock. And so she's like, OK, I'm just going to be careful, more careful about what I say when.
I don't think in general she cares if they leave any other rich person.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like rich people. That's quite obvious.
Correct. Unless it's her parents who are funding her lifestyle.
Right. Isn't that funny?
Yes. Oh, I like my parents'
teachers,
money.
So teachers is a little above.
No, they're academics and authors. 98% of you say no. You don't believe that this is a sign that Mayor Katie Wilson is having some sort of genuine change of heart. Barb says she's just covering her hiney. Her handlers must be in damage control mode. Kim says, I think she regrets saying the words out loud in front of an audience, but not the actual thoughts behind them. That's what I was trying to articulate. Kim articulated it better than me. Desiree, I say no because in my opinion, I haven't seen or heard anything from this woman that seems even a little bit genuine. let's see. Three Dredge. She, much like the rest of the left-leaning politicians in the state, are authentic when they are at their worst. She only regrets that her comments got negative attention. Yeah, I have no doubt that she actually believes what she said. Maybe she's just regretting that they were captured on camera. All right, we'll get to our segment Unbelievable coming up next. Very in line with the story I brought you yesterday about all these alerts for missing people. Oh, based on their Native American or they're Black or whatever it is. It's like just have an alert for anyone who's missing. But I said, Washington's one of the most racist states in the union. And this story, very similar. We'll have an Unbelievable. First, summer's right around the corner. If you have any work to be done to the exterior of your home, cleaning, gutters cleaned, roof cleaned, if you need a new roof or just someone to come inspect your roof to see if you need a new roof, reach out to our friends at Valentine now because their schedule really starts to fill up in the summer. Right now, there's still time for priority scheduling, which means if you get on the phone to Valentine, you can not only lock in your estimate, which is good with the rising cost of crude oil, but they can get you on the schedule within 3 weeks and just get that work done before you've got a bunch of stuff going on this summer, before you've got friends over for barbecues, and then before their judgmental eyeballs are on the exterior of your home while you're sitting there sipping drinks by the fire. So call 206 Roofing, schedule your free estimate today. And again, if you go with Valentine, you can lock it in and avoid some of the increases that are coming soon with the cost of crude oil. So 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing, when you see that red Valentine van in your neighborhood, you know that someone's getting the Valentine experience. 206 Roofing. And with that, let's get to, are we doing two today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. I feel like every day we do two. I stand by this. Washington is the most racist state in the union. And I don't know how they get away with such blatant racism. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law, not preferential treatment under the law. On the show yesterday, I talked about the fact that they're trying to expand all these missing persons alerts based on skin pigmentation. They already do a missing an indigenous person alert, and now they want to do the ebony alert. So if you're black, you get special treatment if you're missing, and all these other things. So the University of Washington seems to be going a similar route. So you can attend a special graduation ceremony based on skin pigmentation. You can attend a black graduation celebration, Filipino, Latin, Native American, Pacific, Islander. So basically, unless you're white, there's a special graduation ceremony for you where you can feel safe that your fellow whitey students won't be here, won't be around bothering you, polluting your air. And you can just have a graduation at a publicly funded university based on race. Wow, we really are going backwards. But here's the new kicker. Undocumented graduation. Apparently they did this last year. I don't know how I missed this. They are doing a graduation celebration for undocumented students. Paging ICE. I mean, if I were ICE, not that that's the group I want rounded up, but you really, they think Trump's evil and horrible.
Who's so going to
why
that?
Would they broadcast this? It says the Graduation Celebration Committee and the Purple Group, along with its partners, is proud to announce the annual Undocu Graduation Celebration. The event honors the accomplishments and resiliency of undocu graduated. Why doesn't it just say undocumented? Are we sure undocu means undocumented?
That's what I was told.
Graduating students and their peers. Who's going to that? Yeah. Especially, again, if you think that Donald Trump is a horrible human being who's rounding up absolutely everyone, and I'm frankly, he has deported some people who don't have, like, a profound criminal history. You gonna go to that? I don't think so. I almost, this is mean. I almost think ICE should go to it just because it's that stupid. I almost think they just should. Because if you're going to do something like that, and you're holding graduation ceremonies based on race, how is that even legal? How can you get federal dollars and hold graduation ceremonies based on race? And I think they try to get around it because they don't actually say that a requirement to go is you have to be black or you have to prove that you're Native American. So, oh, well, anyone could technically go. They're not going to go. You think a white person's going to go to the black graduation ceremony? Said,
you're invited if you're undocumented or a peer of undocumented people.
So they won't know who's who. But, like, nobody's going to that, okay? Nobody's going to go to graduation ceremonies screaming from the rooftops, especially now, I'm undocumented. It's just absolute virtue signaling. I don't know how the race-based stuff is legal. It should not be legal at all. And how you can explicitly say, because they'd never put white graduation ceremony. You put white in any context where they separate people based on race like that, and it automatically, can you imagine the outcry?
Oh,
oh my gosh, you can do black, Filipino, Latin, Native American, Pacific Islander, but if you did a white graduation ceremony, oh my God, they would burn that school to the ground.
You'd say Icelander. Burn
that, yeah, you could say Nordic.
Yeah.
German. No, they'd burn that school to the ground. Crazy. All right, are students starting to push back against radical nonsense? Let's get to it in our second edition of Unbelievable. All right, you know how I feel about student walkouts, and I'm not going to change my mind just because I like the thing that students are walking out for. I'm okay if you exercise your First Amendment rights, but I still think there need to be consequences if you walk out of school. I don't think that's appropriate. You're there to learn, and you need to learn that sometimes your speech and things that you believe in, that there are going to be consequences for it, but you should stand up for it anyway if you really believe in it. I just think that there needs to be consistent consequences across the board. That being said, Bothell High School students walked out of class yesterday to protest the school eliminating the school resource officer. Holy smokes, have we come a long way,
right,
from 2020. So apparently the kids really love their school resource officer, Officer Ware, and they have launched a change.org petition to get the school board to reconsider its decision. They say they believe that this wasn't some budgetary decision. They think the school did this because the left hates cops and they love this guy. So Fox 13 did a great story. Credit Fox 13. And I will say, some of what these kids are saying is a little bit disturbing. Mm-hmm. Why they think they need a school resource officer. But still, I like that they're standing up for law enforcement. Here's one student speaking to Fox 13.
He stopped two of my friends from overdosing. He stopped two of my friends from vaping and stopped one of my friends from killing themselves.
Jesus. Okay, side note.
Yeah.
What's happening at that school?
I don't know. Send some counselors too.
Yeah, and also, yeah, I mean, send some counselors. Not only do you need the school resource officer, it sounds like you really need, the kids need therapy. That's pretty concerning. So during last week's board meeting where this happened, I mean, the school board members are absolutely out of control. Here's one of them.
You are correct in saying that you have elected all of us to represent you. But you also elect us to vote our conscience, and you don't all get all of the information.
All right, please, please, you had your opportunity to speak.
Not only are you stupid, but we know better than you. You elected us, so you're not allowed to give us any feedback, because once you elect us, that says that you trust us to make these decisions. Let's see, and why'd they do it? Fox 13 says, not about the budget.
With the exception of Sandy Hayes, the other four board members voted to get rid of the SRO program. They indicated it was not anything personal against Officer Ware, but they use words like racial, equity, and educational justice in their dialogue before the vote.
If I vote to continue this contract, I'm continuing harm for one group who do not have the choice to opt out of the program.
They're still, and the kids are like, nah, we like the guy. Oh, equity. So it's not about budget. It's about they just don't like cops and they think that his presence on campus harms a population of students. And this is the thing. It's always leads to unfair outcomes. Whatever the woke group is, they're the one that gets the special treatment. They win, quote unquote, and everybody else is just screwed. So it's like you want equity and fairness, but you let boys crush girls in athletics and the girls, well, we don't care about you. You're just screwed. So they care about the students they allege don't want the cop there. And all the other students who do, well, you're screwed. You don't get to choose. You don't get a cop there to feel safe. One board member said she doesn't want the kids talking to the school resource officer.
It concerns me that we are placing a police officer in a position as a confidant for students, encouraging them to tell him everything that concerns them or worries them when those things can be used against them legally and or others.
Gosh. And just for good measure, maybe you're like, oh, well, you know, all the kids of color, they think it's a racial equity issue. And these white school board members, they're doing it for the kids of color. Let's check in on the kids of color, shall we?
They're using some reports of colored students feeling unsafe with the officer on campus, but they're not able to provide those reports.
He's like, no, I'm good. And you haven't been able to like tell us specifically that that is actually happening, because it's not. It's just these wokey ideologues on the school board who hate cops and think that they're going to virtue signal. And all the students are like, no, we're good. We'd like the cop here. Thanks very much. We really like him. So, yeah. Again, consistent on kids walking out of class. Don't like it. But if you believe in something and you walk out and there's a punishment for it, I think that's a good life lesson for you. And I do agree with the kids that, yeah, especially nowadays, we need school resource officers in our classrooms. A couple crazy federal stories to get to, including a good example of the Democrat hypocrisy on press pass is. You probably know the story I'm about to get to. If you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, like our friend Lawn did, an undivided viewer and listener. He and his wife decided, we're out of here. We're going to Arizona. They reached out to Wes of sellwithwes.com, and Wes had some suggestions for them to try to increase the value of their home. At first, Lon says he was skeptical, but he's glad he did what Wes recommended.
And so we ended up doing pretty much everything they said. We did it all. And then all of a sudden, in 5 days, it was three offers all above list price. It was just kind of stunned. So yeah. It was dramatic, unbelievable thing. Because I told Wes when we talked to him, I said, well, we had to eat crow on it. And he goes, well, Lon, you followed the process. That's all I ask you to do, when you follow it. Well, thank you for pushing us through, pushing us over the edge to make the process work.
Yeah, so he went from sellwithwes.com to soldwithwes.com. So happy with the results. Now he's loving Arizona. He's even got his little warm weather shirt on there, which I thought was funny, almost rubbing it in a little bit. And look, we don't want you to leave the state, but if you are planning to leave the state or just moving across the block, reach out to Wes at sellwithwes.com. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been in the market for a long time. He can give you a great market analysis to just let you know how long you can expect to sell your home, what work you might have to put into it, etc. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, some national news. There is justice after all. So in March, we, along with everyone else, played that video of James O'Keefe and his team down on Skid Row in LA, capturing clear, documented evidence of election fraud.
Brenda Brown also has a stack of voter registration forms so she can get the homeless people to first register to vote.
Okay, you guys, I need to get paid. Come on, let's do it.
The petitioner, Brenda Brown, then hands cash money to the homeless person, not only for signing the California ballot initiative, but also as payment for them to register to vote. That is a federal felony, 52 U.S.C. 10307.
Yeah, so now Brenda Brown is in a little trouble, and the Department of Justice announcing charges against her. California woman federally charged with paying individuals, including homeless people on L.A. Skid Row, to register to vote. Brenda Lee Brown Armstrong of Marina Del Rey, California, also known as Anika. She's 64 years old. She's charged with one felony count of paying another person to register to vote, a federal charge that carries a statutory maximum penalty of 5 years in prison. Harmeet Dhillon, the assistant attorney general, said false registrations undermine Americans' faith in elections, even more so when payoffs are involved. This Department of Justice is committed to ensuring that all U.S. elections are fair and free from illegal meddling so that all Americans can accept the results with confidence. And it sounds like there are more cases to come. But I mean, this had to lead to charges. It's literally right there on camera, and they are doing it out in the open. And there was a ton of other people involved in the James O'Keefe expose. So I expect the federal government will have more announcements to follow. All right. As you know, we are currently battling the state of Washington to give me, my friend Ari Hoffman, my friend Jonathan Cho, press passes. I had a press pass when I needed one to go to Olympia for 15 years. And then I started giving my opinion, and my opinions weren't so kind to Democrats. And they said, no press pass for you. I would rather get my soup taken away than my press pass. Do you get my reference? No soup for you, no press pass for you is basically how I felt, like they snatched it from my hand. So our case is ongoing. Apparently my joke wasn't funny. Sorry, Nicole. No, it's fine.
I laughed.
No, you gave me a fake laugh. That's all right.
No soup for you. Got it.
No soup for you. So we have a long legal battle ahead of us, and the case is only in the early stages. And I've said I have a pretty open interpretation of the press. And I don't think it's the government's job, really, to dictate who the press is. I think you set some reasonable rules, like in the Senate. I had a press pass for the Senate. They basically said anyone who identifies as the press can have a press pass for the day at Olympia. You just have to abide by some simple decorum rules. And nothing went wrong. Nothing bad happened. And everything was smooth. For some reason, the House wouldn't do that. So my interpretation's pretty large. I think anybody who uses a platform, regardless of what that platform looks like, to give news and information to the public, even if it's very specialized or whatever it is, they're disseminating information. They're a member of the press. Now, as long as they follow some codes of conduct, right? You can't go into this space and act crazy or act a fool or make people feel threatened or whatever it is, because then you're hurting other people's ability, other people's First Amendment rights. So this from the New York Post. Fans of Luigi Mangione, he's the guy who murdered the healthcare CEO, say victim deserved to die and are given press passes by City Hall. So these three young women, pictured on the front page of the New York Post, they have official press credentials from the socialist mayor of New York City, Mamdani. And here's what they were saying outside a court hearing for Mangione.
His children are better off without him. They need to learn to not be like their dad and enjoy blood money, kids.
Stop it.
Brian Thompson.
I want to be clear who they're talking about. We'll start it over. They're not talking about Luigi Mangione's kid. He deserved it. They're talking about the man he murdered. His children are better off without him, and he deserves what he got. Go ahead.
His children are better off without him. They need to learn to not be like their dad and enjoy the blood money, kids.
Brian Thompson, I don't give a flying about it. Participates in social murder. That's what we
mass social murder. He's responsible for more deaths than Osama bin Laden. And I remember Americans celebrating when Osama bin Laden was killed. It's not like we don't understand heroic violence. That's like as America gets.
I mean, why do we protect the Second Amendment so much? Is it to allow people to shoot up schools, or is it for us to protect our democracy? I think it's to protect our democracy. I'm not saying, you know, we should all take up arms, but when your democracy is eroded and there's no other option, like, what are we meant to do?
The left gives them a press pass, but not me. The left thinks they're deserving of a press pass, and not me. And you might say, well, Brandy, that's, you know, the socialist mayor of New York City gave them press passes. That's not Democrats at large. Find me some mainstream news articles that are saying to take their press passes away. Find me some of those. Because the mainstream news in Seattle isn't standing up for me and my press pass issue. They're, in fact, they're taking the opposite aggressive approach. They're not even staying neutral. They are showing up in court in solidarity with the state of Washington. And so they're not allowed to be just passive on this issue with the press passes for these ghouls. And I'm not saying, like, look, I know this is kind of unpopular, but I don't know to the extent what their behavior was like in the actual court hearing. I think you can have an opinion and you can exercise your First Amendment right, even if it's grotesque and horrible, and still be a member of the press. I just think you have to follow some reasonable decorum rules so everybody else around you can continue to do their jobs as members of the media. So I'm not even saying take their press pass away. I'm just saying, where's the moral consistency on any of this, right? And I certainly can maintain much better decorum than the three of them. And I don't wear skirts quite that short either. Mm-hmm. You know, below the knee always. Professional when I'm in Olympia. So double standards, double standards. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, so many Undivided viewers and listeners have saved thousands of dollars a year by simply doing the First Mark Challenge. First Mark has been wonderful sponsors of our show for several years now. And there's a reason. I use First Mark for my home. I use First Mark for my business. It is an exceptional service and they're local. So you call, they pick up the phone and it's not some phone tree. They're like, oh, hello, you know, and then catch up. And I get so nice emails from them checking in on me and Mike and business stuff. Back when I, you know, somebody was trying to sue me, you know, the business, they were all over it. They were helping me out, explaining to me how it would work. So it's just, I just love it. It really is like having a friend or a family friend handle your insurance, and they can save you hundreds of dollars a month or thousands of dollars a year. So take the First Mark Challenge today, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. And like Connie, Debbie, Carol, Robin, you could save hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. All right, let's get to some comments, shall we? We did have some
Super chats
that I think came in late yesterday. We didn't get to, so I want to read them. David Prince, talking about the presidential elections. Polls from sources such as YouGov and New York Times indicate that the far left is 8 times more likely to celebrate political violence than the far right. Yeah, sounds about right. Or justify it. We just saw that. Mm-hmm. They're justifying the violence, you know, because, oh, a healthcare CEO deserved it. Brother
Comparing
Abe.
Comparing him to Osama bin Laden.
I know.
And that just gets covered. I'm like, no big deal.
Can you imagine like being a guy and winding up on a date through an app with one of those girls? And then they're like, oh, because, yeah, they're very pretty girls, you know? And it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Yikes.
Brother Abe, as a believer living my life through you, through you, keep up the middle fingers to the devil. Talking about my middle fingers comment.
I know.
Milkman, have you heard about Oregon having to remove 800,000 bad voters from their voter rolls? I think I heard something about it. I didn't, not from any like reliable source. So I'd
we'll
have
look
to
into it some more.
Yeah, I have to double check it. I saw it on X, but I didn't see it in like from people I knew. So I'll have to look into it more. Let's see. John Thomas, to be fair, legacy media has a history of only caring if it's hot young girls. Oh, I think that means white girls.
White girls.
So this is, again, from yesterday's show. Like, oh, the media only covers missing young white girls, basically.
Right.
Which I don't think is true or fair anymore. Mm-mm. Maybe at one point. On the media's selective coverage of trans crime, I Don't Give a Chuck says nobody is surprised that the media is attempting to manipulate the weak-minded. Tammy Hogan, isn't threatening Chloe a hate crime? Oh, no, because you're protected if you're trans, but not if you're detrans, right?
Then you're, you've turned your back on the trans.
Yeah. And the idea of hate crimes to me is so stupid because you just prosecute the crime they committed. Like for the prosecutor's office to say, oh, this guy in the UW case wasn't motivated by hate. It's like, you stab someone 40 times, you're motivated by hate.
Well,
every crime is hateful.
You've definitely got some screws loose.
Yeah. The hate thing is unnecessary to me, right? Just prosecute the crime that they committed. Norm, there is no real reporting by most media outlets. They appear to go by whatever gets the best reaction. And you'll see in like the conservative media, you know, they'll call out that somebody's a murderer is trans or whatever it is. But
it does bother me when, I think they try too hard sometimes because I saw them say like female, like trans female something. But if you're going to say female, that's like the sex term. So no, you would say trans woman, but they're like all trying too hard
they
and
fall
they're
over
bad
themselves.
At it.
Yes.
So just be truthful.
Just be truthful. On the cost of trans prison inmates, Tech Pew Guy says, no fake boobs fund. Natural is always better. Ask the dudes you know. Appreciate what you have.
Well, in theory, Brandy really wants a reduction.
Yeah, it's true. Wait, did somebody say that in there? Are you?
Well, you don't want fake boobs is what I'm saying.
I would like my boobs to be smaller. I know that's like slapping God in the face, but... Baron of Gray Matter, validating them is cruel and only makes the problem worse. Bring back tough love and shame. Stephanie Brushwood, wow. And Washingtonians can't afford prescriptions or even basic needs. Crystal, we so need to go back to prisoners actually being treated like prisoners. Only the basics. Make them do work on the side of roads, cleaning, stop the free rides.
It's really crazy.
It
the
really
iPads
is.
And hair, trans it's hair removal.
Crazy. Katie regretting allegedly her Starbucks comments. Papa would, I think the best.
But he cannot shorten his name.
Papa would. Well, I thought Papa would sound better, but it doesn't. So Papa Woody. I think the best one-liner about Comrade Katie's head was, and I quote, she's an empty vessel. Amy Liu, Seattle mayor doesn't realize that business owners and operators pay the bills of the city. Yeah, that's a good thing to know if you're trying to get a bunch of free stuff. Matthew Cook, nothing says I want to be here like moving to Nashville. Yeah, that's such a good point. Katie tells the New York Times, I think they want to be here. They're moving to Nashville. Like, what tells you they want to be here?
Yeah.
Let's see. UW having separate grad ceremonies for undocumented graduates. Jules, congratulations, Democrats. You were defeated in keeping segregation, but now you've successfully gotten them to segregate themselves, to pardon yourselves in this matter. On schools axing, the school axing the campus cop, Merwin Wren, if these are 80-20 issues, why the hell aren't the 80% standing on these school administrators' desks? They were pretty vocal at that meeting. They were shouting
I mean, the walkout was very... very significant. I mean, there were signs, they were calling out the board members. I mean, I do think that there is something to that, and I'm with you. I don't really support them walking out of class because I think that, you know, you're there for a reason, whatever. Do it after school, whatever. You're going to get the same attention as if you walk out during class, if all of the students are outside after class. But I mean, I could not tell you who board members were when I was a student, and these kids know.
Yeah.
And they are – they are calling them out, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, and I like that parents show up as well. Mm-hmm. Sasha Windfeather, honestly, if the students want him, why not let the kids vote as a student body? Yeah, let them vote. If you're saying you're doing it for the students, you should be serving the most possible students, not a minority faction of students.
But aren't those board members like every other politician in the state right now? Like, I know better than you. Like, I mean, there's been some Jamie Peterson's been under pressure lately for saying, I know better than you. You just don't understand.
Stupid.
You're stupid. And that's what these people are saying, too. So that isn't that the politician's way in Washington?
Yeah. Coop says this is what happens when way too many crazy leftist women get control of our education system.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to have good people run for these spots. They don't run. Normal people have lives and just try to live their life without all of this nonsense in it.
Yeah.
And all it does is let more nonsense in because that's who runs and gets these things unopposed.
Yeah, because it's like, who would want to do that job?
Right.
All right. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Talking about apples, a huge flub from Congresswoman Marie Glusenkamp-Perez. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They can help you on an individual basis, with screening and forms and whatever you might need, resources. They also have events happening all year long across the state of Washington, and they engage in advocacy on your behalf. They've got some really important property rights lawsuits that they're heading up. And then, of course, they're down in Olympia during the legislative session trying to talk some sense into lawmakers down there about bad housing policy and the impact it can have on the state's housing supply. So become a member of RHA today. RHAWA.org. RHAWA.org. It is Washington's trusted resource empowering housing providers. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Nicole. All right. Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, who is running for re-election in Washington's 3rd congressional district. So that's like right north of Portland. She was giving a speech on the floor of the House about apples that kids are given in school. And in doing so, she dissed one of the primary crops from Washington State.
I think we all remember being presented with a really gross red delicious apple in school cafeterias. Maybe you like them. If you do, you're wrong. But red delicious, as we know in Washington State, are an inferior apple. And, you know, then people argue that the kids just aren't eating fruit because they don't like it. And it's like, well, yeah, if you gave them an old boot leather to eat, they wouldn't eat that either. It's really it's not about, it's important that we offer quality fruit that can compete with Cheetos or whatever kids are eating these days.
We're an apple state. We produce apples. And the congresswoman from our state is saying that one of the apples we produce a lot of tastes like old boot leather. Said it's clearly the worst apple. And anyone who likes it is wrong. And first of all, she was fact-checked because the USDA publishes a list of apple varieties that go to schools every year. And it doesn't just include the Red Delicious. All the other ones, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith, Gala, all of those. But these are the apple varieties. Now look, is she wrong that it's not the best apple? Of course not. But you're a member of Congress from a state that relies on apples. So maybe try to get those specific apples taken out of school lunches or diss apples in general as tasting like
boot leather. That's somebody's livelihood in your state.
That is someone's livelihood in your state. Is making red delicious apples.
Growing
red delicious apples and selling them on the market. And as a member of Congress, you're like, they taste like shoe leather. They're disgusting. Look, they're not cosmic crisp, but they'll do the trick. And it's like,
why?
If kids are eating an apple, let them eat. I don't care what kind of apple it is. And I don't know that we could afford to put a cosmic crisp on every school lunch. Those are expensive.
So as an adult, I've heard adults say, I like this apple over that apple.
Kids don't care. You cut it up in slices. And they might not even eat the apple anyway, no matter what kind of apple it is. But you don't diss one of the primary moneymakers in the state of Washington. Apples. Just totally unforced error. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback and utilize our promo, which is going on through the end of May. I don't know why I'm sounding like a ghost. USA 30. Nicole just wants me to shut up and do my job. USA 30. It's because your end of the year bonus is now based on a paid subscription.
See, there we go.
And so now she's
like,
come
on, people, help me.
She's like, get it together. Stop making accents when you're doing the promo. Our promo code USA30, USA30 at patreon.com/undivided. patreon.com/undivided. And pop that in. You'll get 30% off, which is a pretty smoking deal, honestly. What else? Anything else, Nicole?
No.
You want me just to...
What's tomorrow? Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
No, I think.
Okay.
It's a regular old week.
All right, hit the like button, share, subscribe, follow us across all our social platforms. We're trying to hit 200,000 on YouTube by the end of the year. I think we can do it by my birthday, which is July. So get on there, follow, like, subscribe, share. Bye.